You know, it's Tuesday, and here on the Hang Zone, or in the Hang Zone, that means a couple different things. One is Business Tuesday, every Tuesday at 1:15 or so. And the other thing is See You Next Tuesday, which we say every week, and then Tuesday arrives. And to properly open this segment up, we need to send out a signal, a flare.
So you're seeing me now Tuesday.
The beam.
Gordon!
You press the button, the big giant
Gordon.
Button.
You light the beam.
Light the beam.
Gordon!
Gordon!
That's right. Every week at this time, Twitch's own Gordon Keith.
Actually, I would like to promote something other than Twitch today. I'd like to promote my Thursday appearances with the Hardline.
Son of a bitch.
Every Thursday at 4:55.
I want it noted that you appeared here before you became a regular on the Hardline.
That is true.
You saved us true. First.
Correct, yes. Yeah. I went to my best friends first.
Hey, thank you. We got an open.
I know, you guys got an open. I get in touch with the Hardline, and they're like, I don't know, I guess 4:55 is good, or, no, can you do 5:15 today, or, like, you guys are very structured, and we're very regular with this.
Let's find the rant open. We'll just use that.
Ba-dunk-dunk. It's in there, it is right there.
I mean, that's something, we don't have to do anything extra for that, right?
Ha-ha! Yeah. Love it.
I think they pitched it up a little bit. Like half a cent. Just to say they did
works
something.
Works every time.
When did the rant end? Was it so long ago we have to reset what the rant was?
Yeah, the rant was a weekend show that I did on Saturday mornings for like 10 years. From, I would say, 96 to 2005, 6? I don't know. I'm really kind of guessing. And Davey was on it, and Corby was doing the show before. Corby used to be the co-host of the golf show on the weekends. He was the Craig Rosengarten.
He would just hang?
Yeah. He was Craig Rosengarten because Rick Arnett was still on the show. And he did it with Corby.
Yeah, kids like that.
And then I would convince Corby to stay over into my show with Davey, and then eventually he just moved full time.
Some of the greatest days of my life. Greenville Avenue, St. Patrick's Day parade, kicking off with the rant. And the orphanage after that.
It was...
What a time.
It was a show. It was a show. It's kind of a hungover. It was a friend to people with hangovers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'd wake up early and listen to our madness. It was a lot of fun. It was a comedy laboratory, is what we called
like
it.
Like the States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So did it finally get canceled after Norm's, like, fifth?
After Norm
with management?
Yeah, after Norm railed on us, they canceled us.
Hello.
I believe he actually did try to get it canceled at least once.
Yeah, he did. He called on our boss to be fired. To fire me, and if my boss wouldn't fire me, he called on my boss to be fired.
I don't know that I've ever called on anything to occur.
I don't think I have either.
That really takes a lot of gumption.
Yeah, the arrogance involved in calling for something. I mean, like you can say, you know, I wish that guy, you know, if I was his boss, I would do this.
Right.
Like that makes sense to me. But calling on someone to bend the knee to your will.
You are owed something.
Yes.
Based on
that's
your
how
status.
You get in the Radio Hall of Fame. Like, yeah. Sports wise, Jake,
not in the Hall
you
of
ever,
Fame.
Do you he ever is. Say this guy must be fired?
No.
Or do you just kind of suggest it? Like, maybe the Mavs could move on from Jason Kidd, but you don't, like, write an open letter to Mark Cuban. I believe an open letter would be written by Norm.
For sure.
If he felt that strongly about something, which he did. But of course he aims, you know, at our good friend Gordon. That's just terrible. I can't even believe that.
I know.
You're just sitting there. You're just.
I was just sitting there, you know. I just
doing.
He just claimed that I would just say something and shocking on the air, and then I'd sit back and giggle.
Then they sit back.
Then they just sit back and giggle.
Have we replayed the Norm Gordon fight lately?
I think that was like the
first year. Week ago? I don't remember anything.
I mean, wasn't that when Norm first came over here? We had this
the gambling fight.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the gambling.
That's
fight.
The only one I'm.
Was it the one? Yeah, the one
of.
Where Gordon was flipping a coin to see how that would match up against the picks of the poll.
Why
and the coin was winning?
He was, you know, he was outperforming the poll with a coin.
So help me out here. Like, I understand how it can be uncomfortable.
Bingo.
I'm just flipping a coin. It's just,
so help me out here.
But why is it so offensive to do a coin flip against his picks?
Well, I think at the time it was because the coin was not charging a monthly fee.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And the coin's opponent was, and the coin was taking it in the shorts.
Yeah. And so basically Norm was, he was really mad at the coin, and that just kind of spilled over onto me for
some reason.
I think
you have that right. Yeah. Yes.
And the coin didn't have Tony Casillas putting something together.
Not Tony Casillas, Tony Castillo, sir.
Whatever.
Tony Casillas is a Cowboy legend. Yeah. Tony Castillo makes the picks.
Okay.
Well, Norm does
Tommy
the advertising.
Castillo.
Tommy, I got it wrong too. But the other thing is about that clip, it's a great producer moment where Frito steps in and is like, well, you don't see the ones that are paid for. Like, oh yeah, well then why do you put the ones that suck out there at all?
Yeah.
You're not going against the premium picks. Okay.
And, you know, in defense of me, I didn't release the coin's premium picks either.
The coin Substack was
the coin paywalled had its own at the time. Substack.
Yeah.
Of picks.
That's where we got Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
But we have some other.
Yeah. What do we got?
We have some other business here. A P1 told us we should pull this audio because I'm a fan of your massive heavyweight morning show. So I've heard that this has snuck into your brain. Tell me what you hear here from the draft coverage on Saturday.
Do not base your opinions of Mel Kiper off of his passion for how he is on TV, because it's totally different. And I witnessed it firsthand the first time I met Mel.
The quick hit there.
Totally different. Totally different.
Totally
movie.
Different.
Boy, that has been an earworm for me for the past couple weeks now.
Why? Totally different story.
Totally different.
Totally different movie.
I can be making
totally
a sandwich. It's a totally different piece of bread, and I'm putting on this. Totally different than the first one.
How did that get in your head?
I have no idea. We just started playing it. It came up again recently.
It might have been in one of our opens on a Tuesday or something. I'm not sure, but there's a rotation of Tom comments from that clip that get stuck in my head. And after about 3 weeks, I'll go to another one. But totally different is up there for Gordon right now. Do you want to hear the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And someone was talking, we were discussing
but is it accurate?
The three things about Inception that keep it from having a chance. And I forgot number three. It was lots of effects, lots of popularity, but then the third one, which is science fiction.
And four.
I think of those three together.
And four. It already won for Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves is Inception?
No.
What are you saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that their criteria for things are very different than the rest of the world. We're all just lay people out here, you
all
know, watching movies and not real. We have opinions, but these folks make movies. So they can get into the subtleties.
And they look at editing
all.
And lighting and
everything. All the nuances of filmmaking come into play.
Hear the flop sweat on
it. Cut them some slack.
Well, okay.
So, but what did that
I don't know what you just explained to me, but how does Inception and Dances with Wolves relate?
They're totally different movies. Totally different types of movies. So,
yeah?
But they can break it down and say, that was a good movie, that was a bad movie, insofar as those top 10 movies. They can do that. That's their world. Just like you can break down Chicago's defense versus Dallas's defense.
I'm happy to.
So.
I'm certainly happy to do that. Did Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings won, right?
The third one did.
Notice who said not a single word during that.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you were just, you handed him the rope.
You were just sitting back and giggling. You were sitting back and giggling as Tom's climbing up onto the stool, putting the rope around his neck.
Hey, hold on, guys.
Hold on. So Picasso is painting, and I'm going to walk up and like, yeah, exactly. Let me paint a little here, too.
Dan would have carried that over if Tom would have kept talking.
Oh, I was never going to change topics.
But yeah, there's so many moments that, like, sometimes if we put on a movie at home, I'll just say, we're just like people. We're watching movies. So, you know, cut them some slack.
Insofar as the top 10.
Insofar.
We have opinions. No, I'm not saying that.
But the slight little confidence he gets when Sean jumps in there.
Oh, yeah. Sean trying to throw a deflated life raft.
It was just a short shot of steroids that he got there for just a moment. The rash went away just for a little bit and returned.
So that's been in your head.
Oh, yeah. Totally different kind of movie. Totally different movie.
I feel like, so it just hasn't gotten in George's head yet.
Oh, that is totally in George's head.
Okay.
George is the guy that we do all the earworms with. Craig usually sits over there silent and just pipes up every once in a while, repeats what we said. But George and I have a show going, like, all the time. And it's always a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of, you know, just brain rot, just repeating same phrases over and over again.
And you'll do it for one piece of audio for 20 consecutive years.
Oh, yeah.
Moron dog.
You have no idea how much time moron dog has taken up in my life. I mean, I've probably recited moron dog lines from it. If you added it all together, it would probably shave off several months of my life.
It works its way into live spots.
Yes. We're obsessed with it.
Just
you talk about that. That's the Mona Lisa of radio segments to me.
Well, music.
Yeah, music. I mean music. Moron Dog's the greatest thing this station's ever produced.
Well, maybe don't let him eat the napkin.
And you guys just improvised it. In real time, you painted the Mona Lisa. That's shocking to me.
Oh, it's totally different than the Mona Lisa.
Yes. No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying it's totally different than the Mona Lisa. But it's the Mona Lisa. You know, I mean, we're just out here. We're lay people.
That's
George
right.
And I.
The Norm Gordo fight I have in here is 8 minutes long.
Yeah,
oh, Lord,
it was a mix and then some.
And did we talk about Johnny Oates in that too, or was that a different argument I had with Norm? I argued with Norm a lot in the
think
early
so.
Days.
I
What'd you argue about Johnny Oates? Wasn't that great?
I think it was part of this gambling thing, because I don't know why we got into the Johnny Oates thing, but, you know, Norm was good friends with Johnny Oates, and I had been around Johnny Oates treating, like, underlings not so great, you know? Like, people like me and people like Doogie, who were, you know, not huge names like Norm was. So, I don't know why it came up in a Norm argument, but it did.
Love Norm to death.
Uh-huh.
He's got an interesting list of guys that he's close personal friends with that have run afoul of maybe
the law,
society's conventional judgments on morality. Bliss. Dave Bliss was a tough one, man. I think Kip Keno ultimately was
absolved
of all
charges. Was the
bowl of blood
with Dave Bliss? Was the bowl of blood one about that?
That you want your bowl of blood?
You gotta have your bowl of blood.
But I mean, Kip Keno was in jail.
Yeah,
for like misappropriation of Olympic funds, something like that.
But he was saying that Dave Bliss had already been punished enough.
Punished enough, that's
and
right.
And shouldn't lose it. Norm called on him to not lose his job. He called on me to lose my job.
You didn't get your bowl of blood?
He's a great man.
That was with you?
No, he didn't yell at me about the bowl of blood. It was about somebody else, but I thought he was talking about Dave Bliss. Maybe he wasn't. And he defended Art Briles and Joe Paterno.
I don't think it's all of them.
Jerry Sandusky. Look, it was a different time.
That's what's dangerous about being that well-known, though. Like, I don't really know anybody who's going to show up on Epstein's logs or anything, you know? All my friends are spares. Who are we going to run afoul of here, Dan? Like, Greg McElroy? We don't know anyone. Norm knows Olympic champions.
Yeah.
And national, you know, championship contending coaches.
Norm also does instant friendship with people, though, which that's always
true.
Risky.
It's a wide net cast.
You meet someone for the first time and they're, you know, decent to you. And then the next time we talk about him is, yeah, I met that guy. He seemed like a nice guy. That's the way I word it. Norm words it, he is the greatest human to ever live. I talk with him for over 5 minutes.
When's the last time you made a new friend?
Oh, gosh. It's years. I mean, 15 years, 20 years. You know, that's a problem for guys. Sometime I would love to do like a special show about being a guy. Like on this station, it would be perfect to do that. And I know that we dedicate a lot of time, you know, talking about women's issues and all those sorts of things. But there are some men's issues that are also important. And one of them is that men tend to not make friends past a certain age. And I think a lot of men are lonely and they don't do enough to cultivate friendships and to be social with other guys. I think that's an issue.
Get Josh Howley on as your first guest.
Who's that?
Steve Bannon or any of your other men's rights cohorts?
See, that's the problem is that...
Of course I know, yes.
Is that people think that, oh, well, men's rights are only what those people define them as.
Yeah. No, it's an issue.
So is it just weird or like... We're worried that it's going to be gay?
Well, because
like, why do we not?
Vulnerability is seen as a sign of weakness rather than courage.
Right.
To quote Brene Brown.
Right. So, and she's exactly right on that stuff. Is that vulnerability is the thing that does take courage.
And it's also how you make friends most of the time. Real friends.
It's how you bond with people.
Right.
I mean, like I even have good friends that, you know, like I'm good friends with them. Here's the other thing is that guys often bond over activities. And women bond on like a relationship level. You know, they talk about their lives and the loved ones in their lives and
hated ones.
Yeah, who they can mutually hate together.
Yes.
To be stereotypical. But, you know, guys, what they do is they will, you know, hey, that's the guy I go rock climbing with. Oh, yeah, great friend of mine, man. We've been friends for 10 years. Oh, yeah, what's his wife's name? I don't know. It's never come up. We just climb rocks together, you know, and laugh and stuff.
This is kind of like the, I mean, it goes for dating too. Just that I think a lot of my long-term friends developed because that's who I used to drink with or smoke pot with.
Mm-hmm.
And like dating, I don't know that I ever met anyone without alcohol involved.
And, yeah.
You know,
I think that's pretty common.
Ended up doing something further with that person, you know. You know, and my buddies and all my friend group, you know, in college and after college was about, yeah, let's go flame one up. And if you're not that guy anymore, then it's, I don't know.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Do you get together and just talk with your guy friends?
Let's go talk about how to make my lawn greener. Blake will do that with me.
The group text or the group chat is good for this.
Yeah, it's a feeling of touching base and that. But do you really get real vulnerable in the group text?
You might not, maybe no, but it is efficient because you feel like you're keeping up with five or six people at once. And
it's hard to keep up too. What are you going to do?
It's just
all right, I'm
going to
go do something next Friday. Who am I going to invite? Let me just invite guy from our fantasy league or something.
Yeah. Once people get married, I think their social lives just. For guys, I know, it just seems like it goes away practically.
Which I think ultimately hurts your relationship with your significant
other. It does. You should have...
Try to figure that out.
Friendships, and that will strengthen your core relationship with your significant other.
Not married, kids, I think, more.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then you can only have friends that have kids in your same demographic. It doesn't matter the demographic of the friend.
You know, and... Like
you
I
don't
want
to go hang out with a guy who has a teenager if you've got a 2-year-old.
But like thinking the last time you have a vulnerable conversation with a guy friend. Like I know a close guy friend of mine, you know, he and I had a heart to heart and he was going through a rough time talking about how he just and a lot of guys, I think, identify with this. In the family, it's like no one cares so much about dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dad just kind of makes stuff happen. But women's problems are oftentimes talked about, in guys' opinions, ad nauseum with their friends. And so they're always troubleshooting their inner life. And guys are not doing that with their other guy friends. And then when a guy speaks up and says, you know, man, I just, you know, I feel underappreciated around here. You know, everybody just doesn't do it. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, a man feels underappreciated. Oh, wait. That's what culture does to a guy when he says, you know, I feel like sure. I'm overlooked, you know,
this
in our family
dynamic. This is why
it's
tougher to be a guy.
Of course. At the end of the day.
In America today, being a guy, especially a white male, nobody understands our problems.
I don't know that it's certainly not tougher, but it's hard just being a human on the planet. And we all work on kind of the same firmware. So why would we think that a guy's emotional life or in his insides don't need any caretaking just because, oh, you've had land rights for so long, so you have no emotional. It's like, okay. All right, you win the cultural argument. Can we now get to the people who are hurting?
Well, to tie this all together, I just want to say.
I love
like,
you guys.
I like having my insides taken care of. There's yes. nothing wrong with being a little open to new things.
Yeah, I know what he's referencing. He's referencing
we're all that saying, as a dude, it's okay to be open to new things.
Yes. Yes. And to Jake, that means butt play.
All right. Let's play the thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Hardline's Gordon Keith. You can hear him every week and Thursday at some time.
I knew we'd get back there somehow. Yeah.
Sometimes joins the Musers. Those are two totally different shows, though.
Totally different. Totally
so far as they are on both on the ticket.
But totally different. Yeah.
All
right.
Thanks, Gordon.
So, cut him some slack.
We're all just lay people.